girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast is all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So, girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. Girl, you are in for a treat with today's episode because we have on the show one of my closest girlfriends, Aisha, and I absolutely adore this woman because I've seen her evolution over the past couple of years to go from this person who had so much external validation of Forbes 30 under 30. She had this incredible branding agency working with all these amazing, you know, different clients, and internally she felt really unfulfilled. And I don't know if you can connect with that feeling of getting to a place where you look around, you're like, wait, I checked all the boxes. I did all the things. On paper, this makes sense, but I'm not happy. And then being brave enough to actually do something about it. And we talk a lot about that evolution. If you happened to attend the Empower Her Live event in 2022, you saw her speak and do one of her very first keynotes on the stage there. And she was incredible talking about the butterfly season. And then she actually came back to Empower Her Live 2023 with her luxury jewelry line and company she created called White. Well, at this current time that this episode is recorded, she actually decided to sell that company, White, and really like lean into what she believes is like the calling of her life, this work that she's done around butterfly season. And that sounds really light when you say butterfly season, but like, let's really think about this. And you'll see in this episode how we're peeling back the layers on what it actually feels like when you're in that cocoon stage where it just feels as if nothing is going according to plan. And you feel like you're throwing things against the wall, and you really have to tap in to understand, what are your behavioral patterns? What is this like lap that you keep doing over and over again where you're not getting the results that you want, or you don't like the person that you are when you're by yourself, even if everything externally makes sense, which is what Aisha really dives into in today's episode. And then tactically, what questions can you ask yourself to get to that next season, which in turn could be the caterpillar into the butterfly? And also, you're going to hear at the end of the episode, she came out with this new guided journal that I'm so freaking proud of her for. And if you use code Keisha, you can get a discount on this journal. You can check the show notes for the link. But honestly, this episode is going to feel like you're listening into a super raw, really transparent conversation about transformation and really stepping up and doing what you feel called to do, even if it doesn't make sense, with two girlfriends. And I cannot even wait to hear what you think of this episode. As always, I so appreciate if you tag me at Keisha Get Mary and tag Aisha on Instagram. Let us know that it hit home with you. And without further ado, let's dive right in. Aisha, girl, I am so excited to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be here. Also, just generally in your presence and energy. You know, I miss you. Mm-hmm. I miss being around you in real life. So if virtually is what I can get, I will take it.
I just love you. And I think it's going to be really powerful for people to hear about the evolution of what you're doing right now, and for us to just really have like a raw conversation about transformation in general. And I'm just so proud of you for how far you've come. So I want to take them back right now to where you were at when you and I were together in a business mastermind, and you were real ugly crying. Like, you were having that, like, we all have those moments. For me, I ugly cry on the bathroom floor, and then my snot mascara gets together in my mouth and I choke on my spit. But for you, it was like a little bit like of a cool, like, you're just cooler than me too. So like, you had a cooler ugly cry. Explained the stage of your life of where you were at, because when we tell them where you are now, I think it's going to be so inspiring, but like, they need to get where you started at this before this idea came to fruition. So tell me.
Okay. So to set the scene, you guys, I was ugly crying. We were doing an exercise. We were in this mastermind, and there was an exercise, and you were in groups of people, and you were supposed to come up with this business idea, and then they'd vote on the best one, and then they'd vote again, and then you'd present in front of everybody. And I was so frustrated with life. I had like outward success. I had just gotten Forbes 30 under 30 in marketing and advertising. I had a creative agency. We had, you know, like 10 plus employees on staff and like 50 interns a semester on rotation. We were doing great work. I had speaking engagements at Target and Crank Cultivate. Like, outwardly, it was a lot going on and a lot of like momentum and success. And the clients that we were working with were also getting momentum and success. And so it was just a snowball approach of like, this company was like getting bigger than me and I was, you know, doing the things to get it bigger than me, but I was like so unfulfilled and a business partnership that was like not aligned. I was working 18-hour days. I was never, you know, with my husband. I was never with my friends. I remember scrolling on Instagram and being so envious of the other people that were in the space as me, the same space as me. And I would be working on weekends and they would be like, oh, going out with friends, bowling, like going for a walk and a bike ride. And I would tell myself at the time, I just work harder. Like they're just not like as serious about their work the way I am. And all of that was leading up to the moment where I'm literally on the floor. And like, and I don't even mean like, oh, I'm on the floor crying, like LOL. Like, you know, people put a crying emoji or they'll say like, I'm crying, but like, you're not really crying. No, I was crying. And I was crying because I was so unfulfilled. I was not happy. And I was just realizing, I was barely at the portion of my life where I was realizing that like, what I'm doing isn't sustainable. And no matter how much success I get, I'm never actually getting the happiness that I think will come with the success. Like I used to say before I even got Forbes 30 under 30, I was like, you know, I cannot wait till I get Forbes because I will be so happy. And like, then you get it and then you're not happy. And then you're like, well, I can't wait till I make this much money so I can get this thing. And then I will be so happy. It's like, I can't wait until. And it was just, I like barely at the moment in time between like, I'm still kind of believing the I can't wait until is true. But I still also kind of am now like starting to notice that like, I've actually said this a handful of times and I'm not actually getting the happiness that I want. And it almost made me feel worse.
Yeah. When you're that, aware of it.
When I was aware and I felt worse when I wasn't getting the happiness that I thought I would get in that situation. So for Forbes, I can't wait till I get Forbes. I will be so happy, so fulfilled. That's my biggest life goal right now in my 20s. And I got it. And that same day I was like, why do I not feel happy or fulfilled? And so the sadness of anticipating this experience and you getting the thing and then or the excitement rather of anticipating the experience and you getting the thing and then you get the thing and you don't get the experience that you thought you were going to get when you had it. I'm like, okay, this has happened a handful of times. It was a dream of mine to speak for Create and Cultivate and didn't give me the happiness that I thought I would get. And so I'm like, okay, there's a pattern. There's clearly, I'm like, when I get this thing, I'll feel happy. I get the thing, I'm not happy. It almost makes me feel worse about myself, but I can't understand what is it that's making me feel worse about myself.
Yeah.
And it was not in that specific moment, but in that moment, you were like, hey, you know, I'm kind of feeling called to do a thing that I've never been done before. And it feels really big. And I feel like even though you don't know what's next for you, and I know you don't want to do this agency anymore, why don't you just speak at my event? And then now you can do this like really big thing and figure it out. And I'm like, I didn't know you that well at the time, but it's very much like, come with me as we figure it out. Like that was the sentiment. And so at that point I'm like, okay, like crying. And didn't even know like what actually to expect. But it was in that moment that I was like, okay, I feel like you said you can talk about the transition. Like eventually you're going to get to transition. Like I know this is just the beginning. Eventually you're going to get there. So then when you get there, whatever, just talk about how you got there. And it was like that seed that was planted in me that I was like, okay, well, let me start to look for the clues that are going to point me to having a framework to talk about on stage because I don't know what's happening in this transition. You know what I mean? Wow. Like I have no clue. And there was one day someone else was like, you're transitioning very well. And I think it was because I wasn't truly being authentic online. So that's just that. But somebody was like, oh my God, you're doing such a great job. And I'm like, really? Because I don't feel like it. And so they had asked me to speak. And this was like maybe 4 or 5 months before your event. And I was like, okay, let me just do a dry run, right? This was like on Zoom, virtual, like not a big deal. And I was like, you know, I feel like I was saying at the time when I was like frustrated, I was like, you know, I'm in like a cocoon season. Like, I just feel like I'm doing everything I can to get my wings out. And like, I can't get them out. Like, nothing's working for me. Like, everything keeps happening to me. And so I was like, well, that's a great analogy, because when I get out of cocoon season, what's that? Has to be butterfly season, right? Like, there has to be a season of life that is really good. And so I did this talk on Zoom about, you know, cocoon season, and it did really well. And it's so funny with my marketing eyes, it's like, it did really well because I'm speaking to the pain points of someone who's in that situation really well, because I'm currently experiencing those same pain points, and then trying to be like, live your butterfly season. And I'm like, am I actually in mine? I'm not sure.
Well, I think that's really important though, Aisha, for people to hear, because, you know, sometimes like when you're in something, it takes the courage to say that you're in something, even if you don't know the solution, or like, I feel like a mess, or I feel like, I'm here. It takes you having the courage to say that. So somebody else that would love to help you, if they can help you, can say, oh, well, like, let's do this together. Or, hey, like, let's try this. And I think a lot of us, when we're struggling, we tell ourselves the story of like, I don't want to burden somebody else with this. Or we tell ourselves the story of, I don't want to appear like I'm struggling, or I don't want to seem like I don't have it figured out, or what will so-and-so think of me if I'm not successful in X, Y, Z, or I don't have this, whatever. And I think the vulnerability that came from, I don't know, like, I'm doing all these things that I thought were going to make me happy, which so many women that listen to this podcast can connect with this. I'm doing the thing. I got there. I looked around and I was like, oh shit, this isn't what I want. And now what the hell do I do? Because now if I actually look back, I can see a pattern. So you're in this and you're recognizing, like, it's almost like you're like forcing the transformation even more quickly, because you're like, wait a second, I want to get to the thing that I can move on the other end of this. And how is that experience been?
So what's interesting that you say, you're like, you know, there's some people who like don't want to ask for help because you don't want to burden someone, or you don't want to like, you know, do too much, or you don't want someone to think that you look a certain way. Those were the very things that it took me like literally a year and a half to realize that the answer for what I want was in that. And I don't mean that, oh, like people will say, but this is still true, but people will say, you're just one question away or one person away from like having a great opportunity, which is true. But that's not where I'm saying the answer is. The answer is in, why don't you want to ask for help? Why do you care what people think? And the answer is like three questions beneath that one, but it's in the realization and the self-work in those questions in terms of what comes up for you. That is the answer that has you asking the right questions. And so let me like paint a full picture. I had a really hard time asking people for help, because I felt like, I don't want to ask you for help because I don't want to do to you what I feel like people are doing to me. I felt like people would take advantage, or I would offer help and I would do all these things. I would go above and beyond. Someone would ask me to coffee to help them with something. I would stay there all day with them, help them with the thing. And then by the time I leave, I'm like, I'm feeling like a little resentful, and I feel like they took advantage of me and all of these things, right? And so when we correlate that, now when it's my turn to ask for help, I'm like, I don't want to ask for help because I don't want to do what I feel like people are doing to me. And in that realization was, no one's doing anything to me. I just cannot set an appropriate boundary around how I help. And then when you're like, well, why can't I set an appropriate boundary around how I help? And then the next question is, oh, because I attach my worth, my intrinsic value as a human being, to how much I can perform. And because we are infinitely worthy, there's no amount, there's no metric that can be measured on a person's worth. I am going to help you and help you and help you and help you. It's a bottomless pit, which is the same bottomless pit that I was down when it was coming to accolade, accolade, accolade. It's just a different set of facts, but like the principles are the same. And so the deepest answer of it all was self-worth. And that's the same thing with respect to even asking for help. Now, when you get to asking for help and you didn't do that work to understand like what the issue is, I start to ask for help from this is getting really kind of out there, which I don't even know if we want to go down this rabbit hole, but when you start to ask people
whatever's
for help,
coming through,
energetically, you attract a person that is going to unintentionally most times and subconsciously most times exploit that. Because in my opinion, everyone that you meet, every conflict that you have, every like tension, contentious, whatever it is that you have, is for your greater good. And it exploits the thing that you actually need to work on. And so if you could heal that stuff within yourself, you're no longer an energetic match for somebody who will push past your boundaries. Because you never had a boundary in the first place to set. So when I'm like, I worked 18 hours with you, you asked me to a coffee and you didn't tell me thank you for working with you. Well, she didn't push past my boundary. I didn't have a boundary. And now I'm resentful because I feel like she pushed past my boundary, but there was never a boundary set.
It's so interesting because like it's actually often two things, right? Where there's never a boundary set, because if someone were to be listening into this right now and it's like, if you were to ask yourself, what are my boundaries? If you don't have any boundaries, then of course somebody's going to overstep it because it's non-existent. But then at the same time, it's like for people that do say they have boundaries, if people are overstepping them, you still then have to enforce the actual
boundary. Yeah.
Right? Otherwise, like there's no point of the boundary. Like why does it? And it's not to keep people away, which is what a lot of people think with boundaries, but it's to protect yourself energetically and to be the best match energetically. If you're willing to enforce those things, you could actually get closer with people because you're a better version of yourself, a more fully expressed version of yourself.
Right.
So as you're asking your, like, I think this is so powerful because you're essentially getting to deeper and deeper layers of your actual like knowingness of yourself, which is what a lot of us are afraid to do because we're afraid of the answers that are going to come up and what 100%. That will mean. And then what to do with all of that, right?
Right.
And it's interesting, Aisha, because, you know, when we had Brody and I caught myself wanting to slow down because I just wanted to like change my business and all of this, what was coming up for me was like, well, I'm just going to create something. I just need to do something. It was almost like an addiction. I know you and I were talking about this at coffee, but like, or at, when we had smoothies, but I was like, it's almost like I needed to create because underneath that was this subconscious belief of I'm more valuable or in turn, I'm more lovable or I'm more worthy if I'm creating something that creates income, right? And when that came up for me, I was like, ah, hell no, I don't believe that to be true. But I was like, but I do on a deep level. So what I want to talk about with that is like, how did it feel for you? Because some people that start to do work like this where they're like getting to deeper, deeper layers, it's all fun and games when you're like, oops, like, oh, I'm ugly crying. I need to pivot. Like that's all fun and games, right? But then we get to a deeper layer and it's like, ooh, there's some like childhood trauma here. Like this is getting wild. And then you get to a deeper layer that it's like who I believe that I am and what I believe I'm worthy of as a person. That can really stir things up. What did that, number one, feel like? And just be really honest about that.
So what it felt like was, and I want to paint an appropriate picture before I even actually got to those feelings. The appropriate picture is, okay, because this is the rabbit hole that I went down to finally find myself. Like when people say, yeah, you're just like, make your way back to yourself. I didn't know what the fuck that meant. What do you mean make my way back to myself? I've been myself this whole time, right? But it was like, okay, you know, I'm realizing that I'm attaching my worth to my performance. I get that. And so I'm overworking, or I feel like work has to be transactional to have fun. Like I can't go on a walk first thing in the morning until I answer an email, right? Like my worth is attached to all of this. And so people will say, just like to your point, you know, there's layers that are deeper, a few questions that'll get you to those deeper layers. But then people will say to me, not that this doesn't work, but for me, this was the easy way out. And the easy way out was just manifest the life you want then. Yeah. Write it down. Put it on a piece of paper. Set your intention. Go out in front of the moon. Put your rocks out and your moon water and set an intention and then burn that paper and release it all and then bury it in the ground. Like all of these things, right? And I'm not saying that that stuff doesn't work, but for me, that was just another rabbit hole that took me to nowhere. And then I'm like, okay, fine. I'll meditate my way through it. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to embody the feeling of the person that I want to be that has great self-worth. And then when I feel it, then I'm going to know it. And then I'm like, okay. And I'm not saying that stuff doesn't work. It just did not work for me.
Yep.
The next thing, well, it did, but I'll land that plane. The next thing was, okay, I'm going to hypno breath work my way through it then. I will meditate and do, and then I'll get in that state, and then things will just be attracted to me. Mm-hmm. I could just walk on the street and somebody will be like, you know what? You're a star. Here's $1 billion. And I'm like, see, I just hypno breath my way through to riches, bitches. Like that, I swear to you, those were the things that I was doing. You name it, I was like trying to find what I would call the easy way out. Astrology, whatever, praying, you name it. And I'm not saying that those things don't work, but what I'm saying is that if it's not met with the actual self-work that tells you what happened to you initially, where did you create this coping mechanism from? What is the driver? Is it fear? Is it love? Is it safety? Like, if you don't actually understand those things, the patterns that happen in your life will continue to happen because you can never proactively choose something new. I call it like taking another lap. Like, a lap, when you make it around the track, you're like, oh, I've been here before. And then you make it around the track, oh, I've been here before. And I'm like, oh, I'm actually not progressing. I'm just going in a circle. Like the brain that created the circle is not going to be the brain that gets you out of the circle without learning something about yourself, unlearning something about yourself, and then relearning a new thing to see, is this relearning of a new thing to do in this situation going to get me out of this lap, this loop that I keep going down? Or if it's not, what's the different action that I can take to actually have the intentions of my life match my outcomes? How can I set these manifestation goals and meditate on these things and do hypno breathwork on these things, but my reality is still not changing? What actions? Mm-hmm. That was the missing piece the entire time. That's the hard work. So in tandem with your new moon ritual, there needs to be action. In tandem with your meditation, there needs to be action. And in tandem with your hypno breathwork, there needs to be action. But it's not enough to just take action on the feeling. If you don't know where that feeling is coming from, your villain origin story that has created this unhealthy coping mechanism, you're literally never going to know how to proactively change your life. You will be back at the finish line where you started when you first took the lap.
Preach. Oh my gosh. The interesting part about this too, that is like, I hope is really resonating, is like none of those modalities or things that you just shared are not helpful, right? They're all helpful in different ways, and different people gravitate towards different things that can be really supportive for them. And when you said this didn't work for me, right? And you're implying that you needed to take an action. What would an example of like an action be from one of those? And how did you determine for someone listening into this that they're like, I've been trying to breathwork my way out of this situation that I'm in and it's not working. How did you know that it's not working? How did you know that you had done that thing long enough to be able to make the decision to say like, this is not working. I need to take action. Like, what did that look like?
Keisha, my reality wasn't changing. Like nothing around me changed. Why do we do these things? Why do we meditate? Why do we pray? Why do we look at astrology? Why do you do new moon rituals? Why do you set goals? Why do you have manifestations, intentions? Why do we do it? Because you want your reality to change. My reality was not changing year after year after year after year. I've been in this cocoon season for like 3 years. And when I met you was day one, year one. You know what I mean? And my reality has not changed. Certain circumstances in my life have changed, but the substantive stuff that I want to change, just the goals that you set at the beginning of the year for how you want your life to be, like none of those things were happening. And I'm like, how is it that I'm putting so much time in and I'm not getting anything back? Like at this point, I'm not even asking for like a quick, like a get rich quick scheme, but I'm like, I'm having this like perceived success. And I would call it success now in hindsight. I'm like, oh, it's perceived success. I'm having success. I'm still like making money. I'm still doing all these things, but like nothing has virtually changed. Like the desires that I have are still the desires that I currently have. And I haven't reached those things. And so I'm like, okay, there's something that I'm doing that's a missing piece. I'm taking the wrong action. So an example, we talked about like tying my worth to accolades and my worth to work. And people pleasing so much. Like, I have a really strong personality. No one can get over on me, but when it comes to my value in terms of the work that I do, that's where everything falls apart. I don't have boundaries. I will overwork to make sure you're happy. I will work late hours. Like, I'm not doing anything for myself. I'm literally, my North Star is to make you happy, because when you're happy, then I feel happy about myself.
I hope you're loving today's episode. I wanted to pop in here real quick and thank our sponsor of today's podcast, my favorite non-toxic, anti-aging, anti-acne, no hormone disruptors skincare line that actually freaking works. I've literally been using ClearStem for over 5 years. One of my best friends is actually the co-founder. And you know, like, if one of your best friends does something, like, you want to be super supportive, but you're like kind of nervous, like, what if I don't actually like it? So 5.5 years ago, I tried the skincare line and I was like, holy crap, I'm obsessed. So now both my husband and I have literally been using the skincare line for over 5.5 years. And why I love it is because it's non-toxic. Right? And there's so much crap in our skincare and in our products. And I wanted something that I really loved that worked really well. And I have just been such a diehard ClearStem fan for so long that I decided to bring them on as a sponsor of this podcast. So what's really cool is you can head to clearstemskincare.com and use code Keisha, or you can check the link in the show notes. And it's going to get you a sweet discount on all products, but they're really big on education as well. And figuring out, like, what's the root cause of any of your skin issues, but also even if you don't have major skin issues, which I actually personally don't, it's been really helpful to just keep my skin feeling really good. I love their face wash and their scrub. I love their bounce back serum. They also have a bunch of other serums depending upon what your skin issues are. And the thing that I also am obsessed with, if you're looking for a new moisturizer, their Hydra Berry moisturizer. You put it on at night and sleep in it, and your skin will wake up feeling like a baby's butt. And right now, in this current era of new mom life, I love putting it on. And although I'm only sleeping in like 2 hour chunks, it's so nice because I'm like, oh, my skin at least feels really fresh and good and super moisturized. So anyways, if you head to clearstemskincare.com, make sure you use code Keisha. That'll get you a sweet discount on all products. If you have any questions, of course, DM me, shoot me a text. I love talking about these products and hearing how so many of you are obsessed with them now too. So check them out. And without further ado, let's dive back into the show.
And that's like the wrong action to take. And so when I finally explored those things, I'm like, okay, so I had like almost everything for the recipe. Do I have a business? Yes. Do I have clients? Yes. Am I making money? Yes. But I don't feel like I'm making enough money. I feel like I'm overworking and I don't have time to do anything else but work. So I'm like, okay, there's something that's off within this recipe. There's a few things that are good and there's a few things that are not good. And what I realized when I started digging deeper in that, why do I attach my worth to my accolades? Like, that's not enough to just know that. And then I started asking myself these, like, I call them heart work questions. Like, when was the, usually you can track where you created a pattern by the first time you experienced that thing. So like people's relationship with money is usually centered around the very first experience you had as a child or even in your teens when you realized that money was a thing. So for me, I'm like, okay, when did I start performing for people and then tying my worth to it? And I realized, oh my gosh, you know, when I was in high school, my mom wouldn't come to my cheer competitions or cheer games or practices or whatever. She wouldn't come. And it bothered me that she wouldn't come. And, you know, I was the best. I felt like if she could just come, she could see how good I was. And eventually I would be, I mean, I was naturally good. And eventually the parents, other people's parents, started to notice how good I was. And so whenever they would see my mom, they would be like, oh my God, your daughter is so great. And when they would tell my mom that I was so great, she would tell me, oh, you're so great. Wow, I'm so proud of you. You make your mom so proud. And I'm like, that's all I actually wanted. I wanted you to come to this to notice that and to feel that from you. But now what I correlated is, if I perform, I will get recognized and then I will get the love from my mom that I want. And so you start to get more advanced with that pattern over time. So for me, it's no longer if I perform, then I get validated and then I get love. It's just performance equals love. Performance equals love. Performance equals love. Performance equals love. And so I will do anything and everything, you, whatever the fact pattern is, you name it, I will always take that route. Performance equals love. And so I just keep performing and performing and performing and performing, but performing doesn't equal love. And so I never actually get the love, but because I think I do, I just will put on a show for fucking anybody. and not literally like a dance performance. I mean, probably that too, but like work, right? Like business life. Yeah. And so it was realizing that, okay, that's the lap that I keep taking. Performance equals love, another lap. Performance equals love, another lap. And so I'm like, if I want a different reality, because I'm not a fan of this current lap that I'm taking and the outcome that it's creating. If I want a different reality, then I need to understand, what is it that I'm trying to get? Because I'm trying to get love, and performance is not the way that you get it. Right. And so I'm like, okay, well then, you know, if Aisha needs love, then who's going to give Aisha love? Is it her husband? Is it her mom, maybe? Is it her friends? And no, it's Aisha gives Aisha the love that she needs.
Yeah.
And when Aisha can give Aisha the love that she needs, then Aisha starts to set boundaries, not out of fear, but because she loves herself too much. And then Aisha starts to take care of her body and eat well, not because she's trying to do it for this bachelorette party, but because she loves herself too much to do anything bad to herself.
Yeah.
Then Aisha starts to manage her money well, because not because she's feeling like she's scarce and broke, but because she loves herself too much to let herself ever get to that point. It's like, it's almost backwards thinking. It's the right way to think, but it's opposite of how we've been conditioned to do it. And I realized that without me knowing the root, I can never actually address the full problem. Everything else is just another lap at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's so real. And it's, I really just appreciate how open and honest and just raw you always are too now in this version of you in particular, because you can share with the hindsight perspective of like, you know how good it feels on the other end to have this version of it rather than all of the things that a lot of other people would have said, of course she's happy, of course she's thriving, she's getting X, Y, Z. And it's interesting because like, to take it all back to even the beginning, you know, when I had asked you to speak at Empower Her Live. So for those of you listening in, if you were at the first Empower Her Live, you know, Aisha crushed it. And it's interesting because I was like, oh, I want you to speak about your transformation. Like and you were taken aback by it because you were like, I don't know how to do this. Like, I know how to speak about marketing. And all the things. And I was like, I don't want you to talk about marketing. Like, I'm not interested in that conversation from you.
Right.
Not because I didn't think that you were credible, but I think this is a really important thing for like people to hear, because they are, you know, not some people listening in have their version of a lap that you've taken.
Right.
In terms of like performance equals love, there are definitely some people, in particular those that would identify as like Enneagram 3 achiever type people, like that personality, right? But within this and the self-discovery, like this new like foundation of I love myself enough to give myself the space to now create what I really want to create in this world. And it's not from the place of I need other people to validate me. It's from this place of I want to create this thing because I need this to exist, from this self-expression, like artistic side of you. So can you touch on like what you recently created? Because I do think, number one, I want people to know that they can get this, but I also want you to explain like how this came about. And in particular, like the messiness of this, that a prior Aisha would have not thought that this was the route to take toward getting here, because it wasn't the validation that you were getting along the way. Right.
Right. So, okay. Context matters here. So context, I just finished telling you like, okay, I'm doing everything for worth. And what I noticed is that a lot of, especially entrepreneurs, because this is a little philosophical for a second, but I feel like we are all here. Everything that happens to us in our life is for our soul's purpose, for us to get closer to why we came here. And so anything that you interact with in life is going to create the tension that is required to get you back to that, right? We just discussed that. Mm-hmm. And so for some people, it's motherhood. Maybe if you're in a 9-to-5, like it's really, there's nothing wrong with a 9-to-5, but it's predictable, or it's stable, it's consistent. There's not a lot of things that you have to figure out typically. And so maybe you're not feeling the resistance there, but maybe it's in motherhood, right? And so for entrepreneurs, I feel like that's typically where a lot of your self-work journey will point back to you on things you need to work on, is in entrepreneurship.
Yes. You want to learn about yourself? Start a business and watch all of your shit hit you in the face. You're one.
Okay. Yes, literally. And so what I've noticed in doing my own self-work and building this thing that I'm going to get to in a second is that a lot of entrepreneurs build their business around their deepest wound. protecting it. And so I told you that my deepest wound is perception. I don't want to be perceived like a certain way. When I was younger, I was really, really poor. So perception around being poor is huge to me. Perception around, you know, performance and what I'm worth and how valuable I am. Like all of that is a self-worth situation, and it manifests in perception, people pleasing, no boundaries, all of the things, transactional work, transactional healing even. And when you look at the businesses that I created, what was I getting the most success in? Marketing, branding, public relations. I was a master at perception. I can make your business look like it's like a bunch of money behind it that's like corporate funded, and I can do that. But why? Because I can do that for myself, and I've just created a business around reinforcing an unhealthy pattern that I was doing. And so then I shut that business down because it wasn't in alignment with where I was at. And I didn't have all of this insight that I have now when I started my second business, which was my jewelry brand, White, which was just another lap, really just packaged up differently. Now I have this really beautiful, shiny jewelry, gold, diamonds object to be like, look at me, like I'm attached to this thing. And so, and I'm not saying, you know, go shut down your business. I'm just saying I would reflect on maybe why you are doing the things that you're doing. And is it actually protecting or just reinforcing a wound that you're trying not to address? And so I shut down the agency. I'm selling White. And now I'm going all in on Butterfly Season, which was what I spoke about at Empower Her. It's a podcast that I created after Empower Her, and this community around the beauty is in the transformation, which has been this huge transformation that I've been going through. And I created a guided journal, and it's not like a daily journal where you're just writing a journal a day. No, like I'm going to help you from just the pattern process. If you can even spot a pattern, and even if you can't, I can still help you guide you from the pattern to your cocoon season. And I'm not saying it has to be difficult and hard and tough and all these things. Yes. Will it be hard work? Heart work, like in your heart as well? Yes. Will you have to feel maybe feelings that you've been avoiding this whole time? Yes. But I will also bring you through what it's like to live a butterfly season. I'm taking you through an entire process. It doesn't have to be 3 years like it was for me, right? And that's what this guided journal is.
And I'm so excited about this. And I just feel like the time of your life, and as you're like shedding all of these things, like you're selling a company, like for context for people that, you know, if you don't understand the timeline of this, it's like this whole Forbes 30 under 30 with this agency that was exiting as you're crying, saying like, what am I doing with myself? And all of this stuff is coming up, and all of these patterns that you have that you're coming to the surface. And like, that does not feel comfortable, as we've talked about, right? And then it's like repeating the same lap, not even recognizing that you're doing it, and other people not even recognizing that you're doing this, as you created a jewelry company that also was extremely successful outside looking in, and honestly, great products in itself, like amazing. Yeah. Then deciding, you know what, like I believe so much in what I'm doing next that I don't even have like palpable proof of, except for from my own experience, that I'm willing to sell this proactively. Like you are positioning to sell this company before even understanding about how big this guided journal is going to be and how much this is going to change people's life, because you're doing it from this heart-centered place that's like
place
this
of alignment.
Yes, it's in alignment. It's such an FES in your body that the questions of like what comes next, like it doesn't even matter, really. It's all just extra because you're doing this in such alignment. And people need to hear that, because we get so caught up in the how. And I think when we're in those how questions of like, how will I scale this? How will I grow this? What will be step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 110? It's like, you know, I was just sharing with you something that we're starting that I'm like, and I'm just excited about this because I get to be this person that's going to do it this way. And like, it's going to look like this. I don't even know all of the logistics. Yeah. And that's when you first brought this idea where you were like, this is what I'm creating. I was like, I felt chills in my body because number one, I know how transformative this has been for you. Number two, I know how transformative this has been for other, like this will be for other women and people that are already using this. But it's also because I understand the leap of faith that it takes to say, I'm going to remove all of these other things that I could be doing and go full send into this thing that I don't even know yet what will come from it because I'm not worried about the hows. And other women need to see that example in your story. So thank you for the journal, and we're going to tell everyone where they can find it. But thank you for the example of being willing to release the journal and not getting caught up in all of the logistics of it before you're willing to put this out into the world and doing it messy.
Yeah. You know what's so beautiful about the messiness part and how like this journal and these like questions have helped me with my own work is that the person that's attached to worth, accolades, and performance is constantly in a state of I'm not getting love and I need to do everything I can to get the love, right? So when we think about how I got Forbes 30 under 30 and I still felt terrible about myself, it's because it doesn't ever fill up the love cup because the love cup is infinite and only I can fill that thing. Yeah. So when we think about when it's coming to marketing strategies and all the things, if I'm launching something with that same mindset for the first time, I want to figure out every single logistic and set me up for success so that I can get the outcome that I want because I think it's going to give me love. And that's such a dysregulated place, which is why when people say, you have to operate from a regulated nervous system. And all of that stuff didn't really land to me because I'm like, okay, so just like take a second and breathe first and then hop on my computer and do it. But a regulated nervous system looks like, no, I'm not trying to make these sales out of something that's filling up my self-worth. I just hope that I can have transformation in your life. And I know that it's in this energy that I will take action. I won't be passive. It's in this energy that I'm like, okay, you know, if Aisha is feeling unsafe, what can Aisha do to make Aisha feel safe? And that's creating long range planning, managing my budget, taking a look at my finances, like monitoring where things are happening in my business. That's all proactive action. It's the same concept that I was saying after I was meditating. I wasn't getting anything, but there was no proactive action, deeper understanding. And now I'm like, well, if this book flops and if it doesn't, it means nothing about who I am. So now I'm not doing anything from like, oh, I have to and make sure my goal is this. If I don't have my goal, then I'm going to be sad and I'm going to like, it has nothing to do with that. And the conversation under the table that no one talks about, but everyone can see and knows is there. And it's why a lot of this like meditation, manifestation stuff works too, is that the energy in which I'm talking about and sharing via my own personal transformation and the other people's transformations who have gone through this journal is you can feel that energy and you're like, oh my God, I want that for myself. It's not from an energy of like, you know, buy my book if you want to be the best version of you. Like, it's not any of those things. Or buy my book if you want to manifest the life you want. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying buy my book if you want the tools for you to change your life, because the only person that will ever change your life is you. It's no one else. It's not a book, a coaching program, a this or that. It's literally you.
Yes. And believing that you're worthy of changing your life. And if you don't figure out what programming is running on a subconscious level that is going to be revealed to you through doing the heart work, as you call it, through asking yourself these questions and getting deeper, then like, I just don't want to see people, like, honestly, one of the things that's really frustrating to me about being in this space that we've talked about, even just like in like people with business coaching or podcast growth or XYZ, like all this stuff and social media, is like, you think that it's tactics. It's literally not tactics, because if you don't believe that you're worthy of success through you giving yourself that permission slip, through you like feeling lovable on your own, through you giving yourself safety, it's like, good luck somebody else giving it to you, because you can have all of those things like you said.
Right. And it doesn't matter.
You won't feel it. And you deserve it. Like a core belief that I have, and I say this on the podcast all the time, is every single person listening into this, like, you deserve a life that you're obsessed with. And that's going to look different for everyone, right? But your version of that is going to come from you unpacking some of this and really getting to the root of it. So in this guided journal, can you just explain a little bit around like what does it look like? Are there questions? Like, give them kind of a rundown of it.
So I lay the land for you to help you understand like the reasons why we do some things, the reasons why we feel the things that we feel and all the things. So I bring you from caterpillar season, which is just like, life's happening to me. What's happening? Right? Like, that's caterpillar season. You're kind of not sure. You're like, I just got here. I'm exploring. Like, life is fun. And then there's cocoon season, where you start to have a little bit of awareness and you're like, okay, I'm taking the same lap over and over again. And now you're like, you know, am I the common denominator? Like, I keep meeting the same person over and over and having the same Exactly. I keep meeting the same person over and over, having the same fallout. I keep being in the same financial situation over and over. I keep meeting the same friends over and over and having the same issues with them. Or I keep asking myself the same questions of like, why does this thing keep happening to me? Like, that's cocoon season, because at this point you realize I'm over it and it's happened before. And what can I do to change it? That's cocoon season. So we bring you there after we've just like kind of issue spotted on some things that might help you notice patterns if you don't. And so through this, through caterpillar season and through cocoon season, there's corresponding questions. There's 13 exercises in the book, and they all compound on each other. So it's not as if you can pop in at any portion of the book and start there. We need to start from the beginning and we work our way to the end. And so for after cocoon season, cocoon season really is where there's a lot of work. We understand like what happened to you. What's your villain origin story? Why did you like implore this coping mechanism, right? And then we find out what were the feelings that you had around what happened to you, because the feelings will point us to the unmet need. And when we can find the unmet need, then we know what coping mechanism you activated. And for my example, since we've been taking this journey, right? My example is, what happened to me? My mom wouldn't go to my stuff. How did that make me feel? Like I wasn't like loved or I wasn't seen. I probably wouldn't use that word that I wasn't loved, but I just felt like my mom didn't care about me. I felt like I wish that she cared about me. But then after I find those feelings and I realize, oh, the parent feeling of this is like, you know, a lack of safety or fear that I'm not lovable. And so when I understand like my feelings, I have this emotion wheel in the book where you can map your feelings and you see those, how like there's parent feelings, sub feelings, and then like micro feelings, and we can reverse engineer our way up to the parent feeling. And when you can find that, mine's like fear and safety, you can see that my unmet need at that time was love. I just wanted to feel the love from my mom. And so because I didn't feel that love, in order for me to get it was to perform. The coping mechanism is performance. And so now I'm like, okay, it's totally fine that that happened to me. It's totally fine that I had that experience. That's fine. There's nothing we can do to change that. What I can change is, one, my awareness around it, to know that just because that happened to me and that's the programming, that's the pattern that I continue to do, I can change that. And so now that I'm like, okay, anytime I feel like I have to perform for somebody, I can just say, Aisha, you're safe, you're okay, and you love you enough. You don't need the validation of this human being, this person, this course, this networking group, this friendship, this friend group, this relationship. I don't need that to feel love. So I'm not going to overdo then what's in alignment with me to receive the love. And so then that takes me out of this like action to get love. I'm learning how to love myself. And then by virtue of not taking that same action of performance, I'm not getting the same outcome of being resentful, frustrated, having the same fallouts, overworking, like having transactional work. Like I can't work, I have to work before I can go on a walk. So I'm stopping myself from doing those things from a proactive standpoint to then choose a more appropriate coping mechanism that does support me. Like I don't have to wake up in the morning and answer an email. I could wake up in the morning and I can meditate if I want. Or I can go on a walk, or I can do nothing. Like I can do all of the things that's not contingent on my work. But does that mean that I stop working altogether? No, that just means that I have a healthy boundary around my relationship with work and how much I do work within the boundary that I set. And so butterfly season is the last season after cocoon season. And that helps you develop, okay, now I got to figure out, now I know my coping mechanisms, I know my fear, I know the driver, I know my villain origin story, and now I need to rehearse and practice and write out what are the things that I'm going to do in this scenario when it comes up so that when it happens, I can choose. Because you guys, your coping mechanisms are like rapid fire. It'll happen before you even realize that it happened, and then you'll wonder how you got yourself there, but you've already been there for a minute. So the only way to combat that is it's like practicing for a game, right? You got to practice, you got to take some reps. And for me, like usually where I will overperform is in correspondence with people. So I have like the luxury of having a pre-written response that I can just send out, because what's going to come up is the fear. For if I want love and I think I know that performance equals love, if I don't perform, I will feel like I'm not, I'm unlovable. I'm not getting loved. You have to sit with that fear because that's not true. Yeah. And you take the different action and then allow all the life events to happen after that. And so it is going to be uncomfortable, which is why I have my pre-written responses, because if I have a pre-written response, then I'm like, okay, Aisha, you wrote this down for a reason. Just copy, paste, and press send and put your phone down. And let whatever happen, happen, right? And what ends up happening is two things. One's not so great, but it is actually great. And the other one is beautiful. It's if people will respond really graciously to that boundary, or they won't. And that's also beautiful, because then that shows you where you are in proximity in your relationship with those people. Then they are not in alignment with you, and who wants them around you anyway?
I mean, it's almost like you're a vessel for this message and for this like movement and mission, because it flows out of you like I've never seen. And like you, for people that are listening into this, like obviously they don't know you as well as I know you personally. But like as I'm watching you just talk about this, it's so clear, and anyone can feel this from this. I guarantee you, people that are listening into this episode that are like, that maybe I didn't know you before starting this episode, are like, damn, she is in alignment. And there is something that's so beautiful. I hope you are like, I don't, it's not about me being proud of you, but what I love so much is that you are so proud of you for doing this. And I think that is the type of woman and that embodiment of feeling proud of yourself, liking the person that you are when you're by yourself, like that is success. Like, and I'm so freaking inspired to see your transformation. I'm so honored that you're willing to so openly talk about this. And I'm so excited for people to really get their hands on this, myself included. And like, Sina's so excited. He's like, give me this damn journal. I need to figure out. You know, we're so similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to see how this all evolves. And I think it's so much bigger. And I just want to say this right now so we can look back on this podcast episode. This is so much bigger than you've even let yourself and your big visionary brain. This is so much bigger than you've even realized it will be. And I can't even wait to see how it all evolves. But more importantly, I can't wait to see how you evolve from it, because it's just going to keep getting better. So please tell everyone where they can find you, your podcast, because they definitely need to be checking out your podcast, and also where they can order this book.
First, thank you. Like, I literally have like water hanging out in my eyes right now, because I'm like, you know what? I am fucking proud of me. Yeah. This is like really, really hard. You know what I mean? It was a lot of hard work. Like, you saw me cry. And also, I'm a Pisces. Yeah. So anyone who knows, like, I can cry at a dime, and it's true, real feelings. I am proud of me. And it's important that you're proud of you, because this whole time I wanted someone else to be proud of me. And I love my mom. Yeah. We have a great relationship. And this journal has helped us heal our relationship. But like this whole time, I just wanted someone to be proud of me. But like, I could be proud of me. So I am fucking proud of me. Okay. The journal. You know what I did? I did a promo code.
Yeah.
Keisha. So if you put Keisha in the, when you go to check out, you'll get 10% off your order, just because I love Empower Her community. I love you. So use Keisha at checkout, and you can find it at butterflyseason.com, and season is S-Z-N. So butterflyseason.com, or on Instagram, you can find me A-I-S-H-A, Aisha, just that by itself. And then my Instagram for Butterfly Season is It's Butterfly Season. So I-T-S Butterfly and then S-Z-N.
Which is your podcast, which people
definitely need to check out. Which is my podcast, yes.
Because it is so raw and real, and like people need more podcasts, right? We need podcasts that are like pulling back the curtain, and that's your whole mission, is just to be so raw about this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we need. And you're just a walking permission slip. We all need to give permission slips to ourselves, but sometimes along the way, we need to see somebody else embody it first to show us what's possible too. So thank you for being the walking permission slip, that at any point in time, you can change your damn mind, you can evolve. And not only can you, but you should. So I love you. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you.
I love you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like, send it to her right now. Or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.